Well, we're back again, and we're talking about this time, a fancy word for this is called pneumatology, and that's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And but we want to keep this so bottom shelf, and God is so kind to do that for us. And so I know that eventually you'll get to this context, Anna Marie, but when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we have to first of all talk about Jesus, who gives us an understanding of that. And I read recently that actually the most famous or most popular scriptures in for American Christians, 1 Corinthians 13 is up there, and then we've got John 14 is another one that comes up. And so could you take us from Jesus to the Spirit, and maybe you'll want to take us back to creation, but why do I need to know about the Holy Spirit?
Well, if we go back to creation, we will see in Genesis 1-2 that the Holy Spirit was present at creation. When the earth was created, it says the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, and God said, so the spoken word occurred, let there be light, and there was light, and the Holy Spirit moved on the spoken word, and light came to be. The Holy Spirit was also present when God created mankind. So God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the Spirit of life. So again, right from the beginning, the Spirit was present. Then through the Old Testament, we see men of God, you know, prophets, kings, priests, anointed by God, such as King David, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they did amazing, amazing miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's where a very famous scripture is found from the Old Testament, is that God says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, not by man's might or army or strength or intelligent, but by his Spirit. But now we want to look at Jesus is about to be to die, to be crucified. And he is just a few hours with his disciples, whom he has spent 3.5 years with. And he obviously, they're troubled, or he knows by the Spirit of God that they're going to be troubled as he's leaving. He's been telling them off and on that he's going to be crucified, but they're not really computing it. Now it's the time. So he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. And he's bridging the Old Testament, the New Testament, by saying, you believed in God, now believe also in me. And to us now we can be saying, now you believe also in what I'm telling you concerning the Holy Spirit.
Good.
So we see just the love of God teaching us. And so he says to them, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name and in my place, is going to represent me, he's going to act on my behalf, and he will teach you all things, and he will bring to remembrance everything I have told you. Since we didn't have tape recorders at that time, isn't that an amazing gift to have the Holy Spirit remind us the things that Jesus said? And Jesus calls it, he says he's the Spirit of Truth. So what we want to know about the Holy Spirit is that he is truth. Truth is found in him. There's no truth apart of him that is divine truth. There is natural truth.
Right.
But the bottom line is the Holy Spirit gives us truth. And the Holy Spirit is a person, and truth is found in the person of Jesus. So here we see the Trinity all knit together, even from the beginning. So when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, he's the Spirit of Truth, and he will testify regarding me. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to tell us more concerning Jesus. And so because, you know, in the 33.5 years that Jesus lived, we know, you know, lots of facts about Jesus, but he is God. Right. So he's infinite in getting to know. Yeah. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit that keeps on doing that. Reminding us of the things that Jesus did on the cross and their impact and their meaning to our lives. So then we find that he says to them, now the world can't receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Inasmuch as the world, God loves the world, to receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to be born again.
Right.
And see, the Holy Spirit gives life. He's a life giver as well. So we find in John 3, Jesus saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. So we see the Holy Spirit as a life giver. We also see that the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. It is He that sets us apart to God, for God. And to the world, though, the Holy Spirit does, you know, I want to go back to the world thing. The world can have them in Him, but He is over upon them, constantly working. And this is the work that He does. He convinces or persuades the world about sin. This is in John 16:7. And sin not because they have lied, cheated, you know, but because they do not believe in me. That's the sin that He convinces them of. Isn't that amazing? It's the sin of unbelief. God always goes to the heart of where the problem is. The others is the fruit of the problem.
Yeah.
But because if we believe in Jesus, then we will not go do the things that we go to do.
He's going to the root. Right. We go to branches.
We go to branches. Yeah. So he convinces and convicts the world of unbelief. And He convinces and convicts about righteousness because I go to the Father. And this is the right standing with God. He convinces the believer that we are the righteousness of God and are reconciled, and that Jesus is going to the Father, His sacrifice has been accepted, and we are reconciled to God. And then He convinces about judgment. And it's interesting. I'm so glad that the Scripture tells us what this judgment is, because otherwise we'd feel, uh-oh, here it comes. Yeah. He's judging me.
Yeah, the hammer.
You know, yeah. I'm done now because I know I have sinned. No, it's about judgment because the ruler, the evil genius prince, is what the Amplified Bible refers him to. In this world, Satan is judged and condemned.
Oh, wow.
And sentence has already been passed on him. Now, Jesus is saying all this, and it has not happened yet, per se, as far as historically in the timetable. Right. But it has happened in the beginning in the heart and mind of God. So these are the keys that this is Jesus' sermon on the Holy Spirit.
Right.
This is what He's here to do. And then He says the Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus, which means He will honor and glorify Jesus because He will take what is from Jesus and He will give it, reveal it to us. So this is how we partake, how the Holy Spirit's place is. What Jesus says, I give peace to you. Then the Holy Spirit says, yes, I'll take the peace. Jesus, you have it. You have Jesus in you. You have His peace. Of course, we touched on the power of the Holy Spirit. We can go to Acts 1:8 when the Holy Spirit actually came. It says, you shall receive power. And, you know, we have different things about power, but different ideas what we think is power is money, power is fame, power is
influence. Yeah.
But the thing is, it's the power to live our Christian life. That's what it is. And to be witnesses. And the witnesses would be to tell others that they're forgiven, that God loves them, and that He died for them. And there's a home in heaven for them, but there's also a companion, a comforter, a teacher right here in this life to lead you and guide you. He was a cloud carried Him away. Again, truth that He is God, you know. And when the day of Pentecost came, this is exactly what happened. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And began to speak other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this could be just one of the biggest controversies probably in religion. I don't even want to use the word religion, but let's say in Christianity. But however, I like to think of that our language definitely should change after we know Christ and the Holy Spirit is living with us. We should be speaking a new language. What we used to speak should not be our language now. It should be a language of faith, a language of love, a language of hope, a language of forgiveness, reconciliation, and so forth. even as I was studying this, I realized the connection between the Holy Spirit and the Word, because Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. Mm-hmm. And then he says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. So here it takes us to, why should I read the Bible?
Right.
I mean, this big, almost clumsy book. It's so many pages and so confusing and seemingly contradictive.
Yeah.
Why should I meditate and read it and pay attention to it daily to feed me? Because the words that God speaks, the words that God speaks specifically, the words that God speaks, not the words that Job spoke.
Right.
But the words that God spoke are living and give life.
Yeah.
And we can speak the words that God speaks and give life, not only to ourselves, but to those that we speak to. The Holy Spirit, ultimately, you know, his love. We touched on in the most famous chapter of the New Testament, if not the whole Bible, is 1 Corinthians 13. Galatians 5:23, first of all, says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Mm. So why should I have this relationship with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Why should I know about him? I already know God the Creator and God the Father, and I already know Jesus who loved me so much. He suffered and died. He, I really owe a lot to. Mm-hmm. But this Holy Spirit seems so invisible and so mysterious. Because it is love that we need. Mm. And it is the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans 5:5 that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Mm. When you're as a counselor, and I'm sensing that when you're talking about the Lord and obviously one of the persons of the Trinity being the Spirit, I'm sensing that you get a confidence from that, because, you know, when we've talked before about different things and different topics come up, you say, not just even for the unbeliever has this awareness of what the truth of God, but even more for the Christian who's been given this comforter. Mm-hmm. Does that help you a lot as a counselor, as you're giving people counsel, advice?
Well, it does. I mean, it helps me. It helps me as a counselor in that I'm sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me specifically for that individual that I'm working with. An individual has specific need, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit helps me get to the root of that need. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit, besides, you know, giving us the new birth, so and you know, preparing us a home in heaven, which we opened up with John 14. Mm-hmm. There in my Father's house are many mansions. This life that we live right here and now, we need the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life every day.
Yeah.
Because it's what the Romans, it's what Paul calls in the book of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, walking by the Spirit.
Right.
So without the Holy Spirit, we can't walk by the Spirit. So once we know that there is this person of the Trinity, not only is God in us, not only is Jesus in us, but the Holy Spirit together, all three of them are in us, knit together with us, John 17 says, that I have in me the power of the Holy Spirit to do the things that my flesh doesn't want to do.
Right, right.
I have these promptings. Little warnings, like little yellow lights that go, don't go there.
Right.
You know, even though that might look good, it's not beneficial for you, Anna-Marie.
Right, right.
You know, and so we can't do without the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We need to acknowledge him, honor him. Every morning, wake up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Mm. Thank you that you are in me, guiding me today. It sets our mind for the whole day.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and it reminds, you know, it reminds us that the enemy has been judged.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is in control. So the enemy is not in control, and my flesh is going to be in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Mm. So the Holy Spirit leads in whatever I face that day.
Mm. You know, it's interesting that our our culture today really wants so badly to be known as a spiritual culture. Exactly. I mean, I hear it all the time, even mm-hmm. more than being Christian or religious. Mm-hmm. They love the idea of being spirit-filled mm-hmm. or spirit-led and those kind of things. Most of the time, it's just I'm spiritual, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it gives me a confidence, even as we're talking to people, that they're wanting to be on that track. It's mm-hmm. not like people are going to fight us. And mm-hmm. I think we're living in a time where people are way more open to it than they were mm-hmm. years ago, right. where it was a little more scientific. They wanted mm-hmm. to have things all natural. That people are hungry for something supernatural.
Right. Because we were designed from Genesis 1, 26 and 27, spiritual beings mm. in God's image.
Yeah.
So we have this longing and this hunger for something way better than what the flesh does. The flesh would lead us, and sometimes some of the things that the flesh wants are okay. The flesh wants right. a nice tasting shrimp cocktail.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. But the flesh sometimes wants something that's more dangerous than a shrimp cocktail. Mm. And so we partake of that, and then that only lasts for a short time, and that's the lie.
Yeah.
We only feel good for the short time.
Yeah.
We are designed as spiritual beings for eternity. We want peace for the long haul, forever. Yeah. And so this is why 1 Corinthians 13 is so amazing. And the last verse of it is, love never fails.
I love that. I think you've hit on so many different things. The John 4 conversation of the Samaritan woman who was dying for what he was talking mm-hmm. about. And she's saying, well, give me some of that. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, those who worship must worship in
spirit
and in truth. Right. So it is, I think we've come full circle in the fact that we're created this way. It leads to this person named Jesus that comes along, and he promises us that same person, the Spirit of God, and then it just brings us back to our roots again. Mm-hmm. So thank you. That's good stuff.